You're listening to Weekend Edition on Michigan Radio.
The word peak, with a Q in the middle, piqued the interest of one of our listeners who wrote in to ask us about it, but not from what we can tell in a peak.
That's what they say. Good morning, I'm Rebecca Kruth, and joining us now is University of Michigan English professor Anne Curzan. Good morning, Anne.
Good morning.
So this week's question comes from a listener named Colin. Colin says, I read an article that said, as the president's peak became increasingly evident. Colin says, I've heard that something can pique your interest, but the noun is very new to me. Are these two related? And I've got to say, I'm with Colin on this. I know pique your interest, but I don't really know what to do with that word beyond that.
That's because you're never in a peak.
I guess not.
These are related. The long and short of it is, yes, but I can do better than that. The noun actually comes into English first, comes in from French, meaning a quarrel or resentment. And you'll get these examples about a pique among the abbots or a lady who is in a pique with her executors. And then by the 16th century, you've got pique the noun, meaning a feeling of anger, irritation, resentment, much the way it means now. Here's an example from Dryden, 1669. Pray, my lord, take no pique at it.
Don't get angry, yeah.
And then here's one from 1998, which will sound, I think, perhaps more familiar. Jockey Richard Guest huffed off in a fit of pique after being accused of taking it a little too easily on one of his mounts. So off he went in a huff, in a pique. The verb also comes from French. So these words were related in French, related in English. The verb comes from the French verb piquer, P-I-Q-U-E-R. It first means in English to irritate, to make someone resentful. And then by shortly thereafter, you see the verb meaning to provoke someone to action or to provoke a feeling in someone. And that's the way we use it now in piquing someone's interest, piqued my fancy. Now, thinking about this word had me thinking about the letter Q. Do you ever think about the letter Q?
Oh, all the time, all the time.
I feel like we just came onto Sesame Street. But Q is a very French letter. If you go back to Old English, in a word like queen, that actually would have been spelled with a C, C-W. K was available. You'd see C most of the time. And then after the Norman conquest, you get the introduction of Q for this qua sound or at the end of a word like peak. And it reminded me of this amazing passage from Ben Jonson's Grammar. Ben Jonson, often known as a playwright, wrote a grammar in 1640. And I was reading it one day, and he has this whole section about the alphabet, which is super boring. No idea why I was reading it. But then you get to the letter Q, and here's what Ben Jonson has to say. Q is a letter we might very well spare in our alphabet if we would but use the serviceable K, as he should be. The gendering gets really weird here. And Ben Jonson goes on, and restore K to the right of reputation he had with our forefathers. For the English Saxons knew not this halting Q with her waiting woman you after her.
Oh my goodness.
And then he finishes by saying, till custom entreated Q into our language and hath now given her the best of K's possessions.
Oh, Q's not so bad.
I just love it that you're reading this really boring discussion of the alphabet, and then suddenly he goes on this tirade, or we could say he was in a peak.
He clearly was. Over Q.
Over Q.
Well, Anne, your explanations, they don't leave me in a peak, but they always pique my interest. Thank you so much.
Have a good Sunday.
Anne Curzan is a professor of English at the University of Michigan. We look at the evolution of language every Sunday morning here on Weekend Edition. If you can't always catch us on Sunday, you can subscribe on iTunes. Just search for That's What They Say. And if you have a question about our ever-changing language, email us at language@michiganradio.org.